This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by Our Pilates, physio-led on-demand Pilates classes designed for new mums of all fitness levels and at any stage of their postpartum journey. I particularly love the 8-week postnatal program. It's designed and instructed by Han, who's not only a physiotherapist, she's also a mother of two with 15 years of experience. This program is the perfect way to build up some strength in a way that is safe. It's done from home. It doesn't take up too much time, which we know is hard to come by in the early days of motherhood. And guess what? They're giving Ready or Not listeners an entire free month of classes. To redeem your complimentary month of Our Pilates and access a huge library of classes, simply head to their website in our show notes, that's ourpilates.com.au, and enter the code READYORNOT, all one word, when creating an account and select the monthly membership option. Rebuild strength and confidence from the comfort of your home during nap times whenever you get a moment to yourself, and enjoy the feeling with Our Pilates. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the podcast that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou and I am in a quintessential Airbnb coastal holiday home starter pack. Everything in this house lends itself to that very Australian coastal aesthetic. We've got goddess statues, we've got four-poster beds, we've got shells everywhere, we've got turquoise glasses and little trinkets. Oh, I have to share some of this content with the people. Who are you? Hi, I've missed you.
I'm Loz and I'm in an office, so it is definitely not as coastal chic as you. I'm going to kick things off with a good news story. When asked to draw a scientist, school-age kids in the United States are increasingly sketching women. Yes, a study analyzing 20,860 sketches, which is a lot, over 5 decades found that a growing number of children are drawing scientists as women, with a significant increase from less than 1% in the 60s and 70s to 34% by 2016. And as you can see from that percentage increase, that's a huge win for women all around. It's so funny because I reflect on that when I was at school, and that's not something that I would have said. I always would have said a man.
You cannot be what you cannot see, and that is the perfect example of that. We have a lot of housekeeping, my friend. Firstly, I just have a question to ask you. Hayden used to make scones growing up, and I don't know why we were talking about scones the other day, but I know I'm in the minority here, and I think I'm going to be proven so very quickly. When you get your cream and your jam onto your scone, what goes first, what goes second?
Jam always, then cream.
I've got this really weird thing where I don't like that a translucent substance is beneath a thick, cloudy substance. I put the jam on second and everyone finds it enraging. Hayden did. So I want to ask you, I knew you'd agree with him. Next up, Airbnb reviews. So we are in Crescent Head at the moment. We're in an Airbnb for one more day before the caravan park finally reopens after the flooding and the cyclones and all that gorgeous stuff. And I wanted to ask you a question. Whenever I have an Airbnb review coming, I immediately think the worst, even though I know I've done nothing wrong and I've treated that property well. I immediately have this nerve that they're going to leave me a terrible review. Do you ever have that feeling?
No,
I knew never. You wouldn't. I knew this.
Why would you think that? As in, what would make you think it would be a negative review?
Because I'm a worrywart who worries about the wrong things, and you're a legend that doesn't let your mind go to such dumb places. I'm going to poll people on Instagram when this episode goes live, because I want to know if anyone else is like me and gets all nervous just before they check out and get that review.
But as common courtesy, I always think if you are renting an Airbnb for a holiday or whatever it might be, if there's something wrong, so for example, if the hot water's not working, if perhaps there was no linen left out, if the person that stayed there before you, I don't know, trashed the place, you would always contact the owner first before you would ever leave a negative review. So if you received a negative review, you would kind of have the heads up around it before reading it. That's why I would never get anxious.
Loz, I couldn't agree with you more. This is why a review on our podcast upset me, because the person never came to me asking for different types of guests. They just wrote this negative review about that the podcast needs to mature and we need different types of guests, which if someone emailed me and said, babe, need X, Y, and Z, I would have been like, good point. Don't put it on the public page first. DM me. So I couldn't agree with you more. I have so many follow-ups. My next one is that I was in the alcohol shop the other day. There's a better name for that. It's definitely not the alcohol shop. And I went to the counter. I was sort of in my bathers, but hiding all of my, you know, sexy parts of me. What a man might perceive sexy, or a woman, who knows. I go up to the guy and he goes, g'day, mate. And I thought, I love being called mate by a man as a woman. I wanted to know what you do and don't like being called as someone that's no longer 20. Like, you know, when you're younger, have someone called you love, you didn't think about it, but then you start to become a mom and you're like, oh, do I look old? Is that why they're calling me love? I want to know what you are and aren't okay with being called by a man.
Mate, mate. Off the cuff. I would only say mate to somebody when I'm passive aggressive and want to get my point across, regardless of sex. I hate love. I hate doll babe from anybody that I do not know. I find them all really condescending. But if you know me, go for it. Use whatever. I also have this really weird thing about nicknames. So my nickname is Chop or Choppy, which is very intrinsically tied to very close friends and family. And when people say things like, I had a workplace where I previously worked and we were going around saying nicknames, et cetera. And I said, oh, my nickname's Chop or Choppy, but it's kind of reserved for family. So most people just call me Loz. And this older gentleman who is lovely kept calling me Chop. And it really bothered me because it has this familiarity attached to it. And I'm like, dude, we are not, or like, mate, we are not that close. Don't call me that. So there's a lot of things that are vetoed in my books. What is acceptable? Miss, maybe? I don't know. Miss. I kind of like that. It's kind of young.
Put that on the no list. I'd be like, oh. I don't want to be called Miss. Okay. Madam. Madam.
Oh, madam makes me feel really old.
Yeah, that's so basically we don't like any, but I'm really comfortable with being called mate by men. I'm like, oh, you're just treating me like your equal. I quite liked it. And he wasn't like, oh. It was almost like I'm always, as a woman, walking through the world in male-dominated spaces, just with my back up a little bit nervous. So then to be called mate made me feel welcome in that space. It's really weird. I don't know what it was, but I was like, I love that. Thank you for bringing so many to the no list. We know what not to call our friend Choppy over here. Please DM her and say, hey, Choppy.
Okay, two things from me. A mum fail this week, which I will share in our stories because it genuinely made me laugh. I'm at the stage where Sienna, my daughter, hates, and I want to actually underline that, hates brushing her hair or having anyone else brush it. She's got really thin hair, but a lot of it, so it constantly looks knotty. I've resorted to like a bun, a ponytail that almost looks like a dreadlock. I actually am at the point where I don't really care. However, she woke up from bed the other day. We were so rushed to get to kinder. There was this weird fringe because she cut it herself and it's taking an age to grow out in her face. And I said, oh, why don't you just wear a headband? She's like, yep, yep, yep. And then when we were getting in the car, she's like, oh, I don't want it on my head right now. And so I had thought to myself, oh, I'll place it on my head. And then when I get out of the car, I'll put it back on her head. Obviously did not remember that minor detail. So I've dropped her off at kinder. And then as I'm walking back towards my car, I run into somebody that I know. She's like, nice headband, Loz. I was like, oh my God, I'm still wearing this heinous 4-year-old headband. So this is how well my life is tracking at the moment. Secondary to that, this pregnancy, and I want to go into this in more detail because I do think it's really important and it stumped me a little bit. I have gestational diabetes again. So for those of you who don't know me, I had gestational diabetes with Sienna. I didn't have it with Xavier and I've got it again this time. And it's one of those things that really perplexed me the first time that I got it because, being transparent, I always associated it with being really unhealthy, having a terrible diet, eating too much sugar. I was very uneducated and I find it still so fascinating the amount of times that I've said it to people this time around, what they say back.
What do
and
they say?
Really how we need to break the stigma around it. Everyone is just so surprised, like, oh, you're so tiny. Are you eating a lot of sweets? Oh, do you have a real sweet tooth? I'm like, dude, no. No.
Like, this has nothing to do with that.
No. But it also makes me think it's such a, like, the first time I got it, I was devastated. And now I'm like, oh, whatever, a blessing in disguise. But it's one of those things that makes you reevaluate other ways that you judge people. Yes. You know? Does that make sense? Like, I was thinking about the other day.
It's ridiculous that we, like, I'm sure a lot of people, I've never had gestational diabetes, but I'm sure a lot of people carry shame, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
It's ridiculous. And also I feel like putting up a photo of myself, I mean, not nude, but my God, I'm loving
it. Hey, you would if you could. You would if you could.
I would if I could. I would if I could. And saying this is what gestational diabetes looks like. Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to be overweight. It doesn't mean you need to be unfit. Doesn't mean you need to be snacking on chocolate bars all the time. I mean, yes, do I do some of those things? Absolutely. How's my OB? I'm like, oh, mate, did you hear that? It's a little, an ode.
My OB said to me
the other day, he's like, oh, you had it before. He's like, it's pretty, you know, pretty self-explanatory. It'll be fine. Just, you know, cut carbs. I have two children. I constantly eat leftover potato gems, bread, pasta, rice. Carbs is life.
It's and you're not pregnant. Just a, like just carbs is what you want. He's like, yeah. Pretty simple, really. Hey, I just said he. He is a he, isn't he? But I just said it. It is a he, luckily. But, yeah, pretty simple. Just cut your carbs.
So for those of you who are in the same boat as me, I feel you. It is frustrating. But I also want to shed some light that I'm not saying that I'm the most slender person on earth or the healthiest or the fittest or whatever, but it genuinely does happen to the people that you least expect. So there
and
you go.
Also it's just another example of us commenting on women's bodies. Like the responses you've had, it's just, when are we going to stop doing that? I don't know. So what are we talking about today? New Australian data exposes grim fact men don't want to admit, and a soft landing for me today because we haven't recorded in a while and I'm feeling a bit rusty. I'm going to give you a bit of a caravan update as to what it's looked like doing so with a one-year-old and a three-year-old. Take it away, my friend.
New Australian data exposes grim fact men do not want to admit. It is official. Women are copping the short straw at home, but no one is surprised by that revelation. I certainly am not. This article actually all came about because the other night I was lying in bed, as I do most nights, and my brain was doing its usual marathon, mentally packing the daycare bags, remembering that we're out of nappies, thinking about what's on for dinner tomorrow and trying to recall if I'd like RSVP to Sienna's friend's birthday, responding to WhatsApp, et cetera, et cetera. You can imagine oiling my body. There's a lot of different things that my mind is
That's important.
Compartmentalizing at the moment. It is important. And Ryan, I turn around and he is asleep. He almost looked so peaceful sleeping that I thought to myself, either A, I'll wake him up just to shock him, or B, there couldn't possibly be a worry on your mind. Do any
or
thoughts
C,
into
like,
your mind?
He's not actually with us any longer. Sorry to make a joke about death.
What is going on there? Why do you look so peaceful? And it made me really realize I am carrying so much of the thinking work that keeps our family running, as most other women are. I got sent a reel recently by numerous friends, not just one or two, a heap of different people, whereby Amy Gerard, who I am low-key obsessed with, I love her. She's got her own podcast. She was talking about how she's not doing a traditional leave at 7, come home at 7 p.m. job, and because it's not considered traditional, it's like she still gets lumped with all of the responsibilities that fall on her to do
it's
with like
additional
It's almost
like her paid work is a hobby, life. Even though it's bringing in money, I'm sure, plenty of it, because she's got a lot of followers.
Exactly. So it really got me thinking because often I find so many women are actually in the same boat. And as we know, women have more startups. They are more small business owners. So traditionally, like as we're moving forward, women aren't going to have that 7 till 7 p.m. job. They're most likely going to be the person that has, I mean, potentially more earning capacity, which is great, but has what we would consider more flexibility.
And it often is jobs that actually are more time consuming than going to a traditional office job. So the man might be the primary breadwinner or whatever, and he goes off to the office and he works longer hours on paper. But running a small business, as we know, like if you ran a shop, for example, or if you ran any sort of small business, it takes so much more time than you think.
Absolutely. So this got me thinking, and obviously got me researching at the same time. New data has shown that while women are working significantly more than they did 20 years ago, causing a slight decline in the hours they're able to put in at home, men have not picked up the slack.
That's surprised me, to be honest. In my house, that's just not the case. I'm sorry to say it.
It is definitely the case in my house. Instead, women are juggling additional hours at work alongside 50% more cleaning than their male partners, as their other halves contribute the exact same as they did two decades ago.
That is so shocking. Women have increased, that's truly shocking.
It is. Women have increased their paid work hours from 22.2 to 28.5 per week, whereas men's paid work hours have only seen a slight rise from 37.7 to 37.9. So this imbalance extends beyond housework. I've spoken about it and harped on about a million times. Women continue to shoulder a greater share of caregiving responsibilities, further exacerbating feelings of inequality. And this unequal distribution of labour has been linked to rising divorce rates in Australia, with a 13.6% increase observed in 2021. The biggest problem with all of this, according to one psychologist who I was super fascinated with, is the volcanic levels of resentment causing relationships to implode. So I love that she said, number one, volcanic levels of resentment.
You can feel it in your body.
I can feel it.
You can feel it.
My blood. Yeah.
Yeah. The blood that's and it's pouring one of several... out of your head like a volcano.
Yeah. And it's one of several new findings from the 19th annual Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey, HILDA, otherwise it's known as. Otherwise known as HILDA, that has actually drawn researchers to conclude that inequality has risen to a new high. So before I get even more enthralled in this topic, Lou, do you think that men are really this oblivious to what's going on here? Or do you think they're just getting away with it? What do you think it is?
I'm sorry to give you an all of the above answer, but I think both. I think it depends as well. I think there's a lot of men out there that will just take their partners for a ride and get everything out of them until that partner says, no, I will not carry this load any longer. And I think there's some out there that think they're doing the best that they can, like that Hugh Van Kylenberg episode on the mental load, right? He really thought he was doing the best he can, and he's quite an earnest man. I think in that example, they can be quite oblivious. But I was reading something the other day at a Substack called Mad Woman, and she said something along the lines of feminism isn't leading to this disparity or this sort of resentment between men and women. It's men not reading about things to do with women, not understanding, not getting involved in the research, and I guess dissecting that research and understanding what all of these inequalities mean for women in real time, as opposed to them just thinking we're being angry for angry's sake. So I think there's a lot to it, but I think until men realize that we don't live in a men's world that's been built for them. Like growing up, sorry, I'm on a real tangent now, but growing up, I feel like all the little girls that I knew and the teenage girls that I knew, they lived their lives trying to make themselves palatable for men. Men didn't do that. So men have been brought up in this environment that is their world that we're just lucky to be a part of. We're trying to change that now, but I think it's so deeply ingrained, that way of thinking, that it takes so long for the obliviousness to rub off or to decrease. That's coming a bit in a lot of situations. In others, I think men are just happily taking their partners for a ride, seeing them stressed around the house, do everything, but think, well, I don't really want to do that. So until she pulls me up on it, I'm not going to.
I also would add to that, working from home or that flexibility isn't really something that's afforded to females, right? It's afforded across the board. It's just that less men are doing it, but they could actually be doing more. So here's another example, personal example, not to throw Ryan under the bus. He's usually, you know, 60% of the time pretty good. That's probably a stretch, actually, maybe like 40. But there has been times when I've been working from home and maybe I'm, for example, writing a marketing brief for work, or maybe I'm doing a production schedule for Ready or Not, or perhaps I'm doing, I don't know, prep on some form of project that I'm working on. And Rye will say something like, oh, would you mind just doing the school drop-off today since you're home? Or, oh, sorry, darling, my train's running really late. Would you mind doing the pickup? Look, I get where he's coming from, because it's like I'm available, as in I am physically distance-wise closer to the children in terms of picking them up. However, I'm actually working, pal. Like, it's this weird tension where flexibility is seen as free time, and it's hard to push back without feeling guilty.
And it comes back to this idea of a lot of women's careers feeling like hobbies as opposed to what they're actually doing for paid work. Because if they're a mum, we sort of think of motherhood as their job, and anything that they want to do outside of it, it's like, oh, good on you, good for you, feminism, equality, you get that job, you get that money. We still treat it so often as a hobby unless they're in their suit going to a really corporate job and a really corporate high flyer. We only seem to really think those women deserve those sort of flexibilities. For everyone else, it's like, oh, you've sort of got a little job or you work from home a lot, so it's a hobby, so you can do this for me.
Yeah. So a Deloitte study, I was researching this because I found myself in this position a number of times, and it's not that I can't do it. Yes, I can obviously go pick up the kids if I need to, and my work is flexible. However, my work still needs to be completed. So what that means for me is if I am taking time out of my day to collect our kids because Ryan's running late or a meeting's running overtime or the trains aren't working or whatever it might be, I then have to log on later at night. And part of me thinks to myself, do you know what? You can do dinner. You can do all the shit stuff that I hate. You can do the dinner and bedtime routine and I'll log on during those hours. But I don't. I wait, and I'm that helpful person that does it together. And then I wait till the kids are down asleep, and then I'm eating into my own time again. Does that make sense?
And then you're not sleeping properly, which adds to bad mood because you're not looking after your own well-being and you're pregnant with your third child.
So on that, obviously I love a bit of a stat. I thought to myself, surely I'm not alone here. This has got to be a common feeling. A Deloitte study found that women are 1.5 times more likely than men to feel pressure to always be available for unpaid work, especially when working from home or working flexibly. That right there is validation in itself. Of course we are, because we feel like if we're in our home environment, it's not your traditional work environment, and therefore I can drop things and go. That stigma needs to be erased. I can't stand it.
It's very interesting that you say this, because I know in a lot of ways I say that Hayden is really good at sort of bucking these trends, but there's definitely small ways in which this shows up for us. So for example, on this caravan trip, if I want to, say, go for a swim, we're all on the beach. Our kids are sort of too young for us both to swim at the same time, right, and leave them where they are. They're pretty little. So it'll be like one of us swimming and then the other. Or if they're on the shoreline, maybe we both can. But in most instances, one of us is looking after the kids while the other swims. I'll notice that Hayden just walks off to go for a swim a lot of the time, doesn't mention it. It's sort of assumed, right, that mum's there, she's looking after the kids, she's always got her eyes on them. If I want to go for a swim, I always say, hey, Hayden, are you watching the kids? I'm going to go for a swim. And it's all of these minor little things that fucking eat away at you. And that, I don't know, like, I know this isn't talking about working from home, but I think it's this difference of like mum's role and dad's role. Like, I'm just lucky that I have a partner that's really good at being equal with me, when really it shouldn't be like that.
Yes. I wonder whether we should be aiming for equality, that 50-50 parenting, or in situations like mine, if it is more palatable and sustainable to aim for fairness, what is fair given your situation? So your example then was perfect. Is it fair that he makes the assumption that he can go swimming? Maybe. Would it be more courteous for him to say to you, hey, Lou, I'm just going to go for a swim, in a similar manner that you have just done for him? I think the same thing about flexibility and working from home. Have the conversation beforehand and say, hey, I'm working from home today, but my workload looks like this. If your train is late, if you can't pick up our kids, if something happens, I'm happy to do it, but that's going to look like me logging on during dinner time. So you're going to have to fend for yourself with the kids. There has to be a fairness conversation. And I know I'm really harping on about this at the moment, probably because I am exhausted and rise away, I should say, for the next couple of weeks.
For the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God, Loz, that is so much with a full-time job, a podcast that is growing, and a pregnancy and 2 children. I was going to say you're my idol, but that just flies in the face of everything we're trying fucking do on this podcast. You're just someone that's making it work. I'm obsessed with the idea of fairness over 50-50. I think if you can get to 50-50 and your sort of economic realities lend to that, that's great, and your logistical realities of who works where and all that, I think fairness is what we want. We understand that there's a gender pay gap, that dad might need to work more in mum-dad relationships, all of those things. But where can we bridge the gap to make it more fair? Bring it closer to the 50-50 if you can. But if it doesn't quite get there, let's bring more fairness and respect into these relationships.
Amen. For those of you who have been listening in, Lou and I have done a bunch of pre-recorded episodes so that Lou can somewhat enjoy her caravan trip without having to, you know, talk to me every second day. But what hasn't happened is we actually haven't connected on how that trip has gone. I have heard behind the scene snippets, but Lou's going to give a bit of an overview as to what really has gone down, which is mostly positive, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mostly.
Not much has gone down. I feel like you've added some real mayo to that, which I love, but not much has gone down.
Well, you've had a cyclone, a flood. There's been a bit of drama.
A little bit now that you say that. So I am recording this about week four into our 6-week caravan trip, which is pretty devastating because it means it's coming to an end soon. Right now, as I said, we are in an Airbnb for one more night because Crescent Head Holiday Park had to close for nearly a week. So we're waiting for it to open. Had to book another Airbnb for 2 nights after staying at the one previously for 4 nights. I didn't think I'd go into my itinerary because I feel like that could be very boring for anyone that's not considering a caravan trip like this. So instead, we're going to go highlights, lowlights, and a few little lessons and takeaways. So let's start with the lowlights. This one's more of a funny story than anything. So I was in Tathra. I took Ray down the water slides, which is no small feat because Ray turns out to not be a water baby here. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be Hayden and my child in that regard because we both love the water. Anyway, I'm finally convincing him to go down these water slides that all these kids are having so much fun going down. There's two. One looks a bit more dangerous. The other one looks pretty mellow. But all the kids going down the more dangerous looking one seem fine. So I think we'll be fine. Put him on my lap. Down we go. Not only did I collect another child on the way down, that poor child literally ended up in my lap too, who was too old for it to be cute. He was like 7. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It was utterly humiliating. But then I actually dropped Ray at the end of that water slide because we went down so fast with this other child. It was all chaotic. I thought, let's go to the easier looking one. Get to the top of it. This will be a piece of piss. We are fine here. We go down, gather so much momentum. Ray and I both face plant into the water. I cut both my knees. Ray is bawling because he's literally drowned in his mind for a second. I come up and I am bleeding profusely from both knees in front of all of these parents watching on as their kids just have the best time down these slides. I was humiliating myself. It was so embarrassing.
Lou, what possessed you to go on the water slide with your child? Doesn't it say one at a time?
Probably.
Like, isn't there like a rule over 14s, no bueno?
Probably. Babe, do I read signs? No, of course I don't. That's what you do. That's why I need you here with me.
I would never.
That was
a lie. Never.
I had scabs for weeks, like sore scabs, could not go on my knees, which luckily I didn't. Oh, wait, don't quote. That's disgusting.
Please include that. Which luckily you don't need to because we're married now and kids.
And we're in a caravan, life. Which adds another layer of not doing that. Wow. Let's keep that in. We'll keep rolling. Next up is I definitely knew to expect this, but Posey is at the age where there's no sort of like sitting around relaxing because she's crawling, she's getting into everything. When they do have screen time or downtime, she's too young to like enjoy that, whereas Ray's pretty good with some downtime. So that's definitely been a challenge. It's meant that we're sort of always on. We're always doing something, which is sad in a way because I think it's made it feel quite quick. It's not like we've been really slow and slowing down and all of those things. But on the plus side to that, it has meant that we've been quite adventurous with playgrounds and all of that stuff that I do find a bit challenging at home. I still do it, but I don't like love doing it. If I could go back in time, I actually would have purchased like one of those toddler play cages and set that up outside at each destination so that she could go in to play. Yuck.
So yuck. Nah.
Why?
No, you wouldn't.
I would. Because you're out in the open streets everywhere. There's roads. We're not into that. Okay, we're going to put a poo-poo through that one. But it has meant, lots of lovely walks and lots of playgrounds and all of that shit. So that's whatever. We'll treat that as a bit of a high
all that shit.
But I can see in my future, like I've now decided that like maybe when Ray's 5 and Posey's 3, that will be like prime time ages. I'm trying not to wish away their baby years because I fucking love babies. But I feel like that will be a really good time for like actually being able to enjoy ourselves and let them play more. Next up, Posey is not sleeping well. I feel like in Mean Girls, like, why are you so obsessed with me? Because Posey is obsessed with me. She's waking a few times each night for a feed. just loves the tit, this girl. I don't know how I'm going to wean when we get home. Last night I was walking around just naked after a shower in this Airbnb we're at. She started crying because she spilt something. So I picked her up. She just starts gnawing at my boob. I'm like, I'm walking around here and she's trying to feed. I'm like, babe, not the time and place. She's always pulling down my top. Yeah, so that's been an interesting one. I can't really blame her because it's pretty easy to want to wake up when you know your parents are a meter away from you. Her sleep's been slightly better in the Airbnb. But all in all, not sleeping stunningly here, but that's fine. Another thing I've really noticed is overstimulation because we're all together 24/7. Posey has
it's a lot.
Wild scream on her. Like Ray will get annoyed and then she's like, you hold my drink, baby. I will beat you. She fucking screams so loud. Like not even her cry. It's just like her being loud. Oh, Hayes and I the other night were just like honestly a bit like,
whoa.
Just like chest tight. Even he was like that and he's much more relaxed than me. So we'll put that down as a low light, but again, not the biggest deal. Do you know what I'm surprised hasn't gotten to me, which we'll put as a highlight, is the lack of space. So how do you feel at the end of your caravan time when you spend 3 weeks over summer? I actually won't say where you go anymore. I know we've talked about it, but we're starting to get more listeners. So I feel like you deserve that privacy respected. But at the end of your caravan summer times, do you feel like the walls are closing in or do you feel okay about the space?
I feel okay about the space because the actual time that we spend in the caravan is limited.
It. That is so
one
true.
Thing. You like that's what I mean with that. You know, when you said baby gate, I was like, "What for?" You got so much space. Like it's like endless space. The one thing I would say is difficult, and I mean this probably is bad parenting on my behalf, but we have a cot at our caravan, right? So in the mornings at home, Xavier's in a cot and he'll be like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, yeah. I have a quick shower, get him in and dump a couple of toys in there. But in a caravan, it's such an enclosed space and I'm really conscious of other vans and hearing the noise.
Oh, that's so true. I'm so conscious of Posey waking up the next door neighbours because she's literally screaming for my tit. So true.
Exactly. Whereas at home, you'd probably let it go for a little bit. You'd be like, oh, she'll be fine for a couple of minutes. Out of courtesy, when you're in a small confined space next to other people, also in a small confined space, and caravan walls are like paper. You can hear everything.
Yes, you can.
Innately, you want to stop the noise. So that, after a while, becomes frustrating. Not that I don't want to get up at 6:15 a.m. every morning, but like if I could, I would happily dump a basket of toys in his cot, which I do almost every morning. I still am awake at 6:15, but I'm pottering till 7. Yeah. Exactly.
You have actually hit the nail on the head. That is exactly how I describe it because I'm not feeling like the walls are closing in on us and I'm fine with all of my clothes being shoved into this tiny cupboard. Like that has surprisingly not bothered me, but it's exactly what you say. Like being in my bed in the morning and not having to rush out because either Hayes has gone to the kids or, you know, they're happy just chatting for a bit. Last low light is, of course, the cyclone and the weather. We were meant to go all the way up to Yamba. We didn't do that. The road is still closed into Yamba at the time of recording. It was annoying as well that we had to book this Airbnb because it's extra money, but the rain was just so fucking bad that we had to. And I cannot believe how much it rained while we were here in Crescent Head. It's also just a reminder of like climate change and the impacts it has, because even in a small way, it's changed our trip, which is very first world problem version of climate change. But the whole town's been affected. Like cafes have been closing early because the caravan's been shut and not bringing in that tourism that they need to make some money. So it's just a reminder of all these little ripple effects from this stuff happening. It's not just the big stuff. There's all these tiny little things. On to the positives. We've seen some of the most beautiful beaches and swam in some of the waters that I dreamed we would see on this trip, like fucking magic. We've seen so many different animals. We've seen dolphins, spiders, you'd love to hear that one, snakes.
Oh, hate.
All different types of birds. Kookaburras laughing in a way that you just don't hear anymore. It's been brilliant. I've loved it. On the good weather days, it's felt like something out of a postcard. The kids have been great in the car. My kids aren't terrible in the car, I will add first and foremost. So it's not a huge surprise. And I know this will be hard to hear for some people because some kids just fucking hate the car. But we have had basically no dramas besides your average crying, your average whinging, stopping to get a treat or, you know, a bit of milk or a snack, but nothing wild.
Standard.
Standard. So we've been so lucky. I cannot believe how good they've been in the car. It's also been really nice watching Hayden spend so much time with both kids, but especially Posey, because obviously with your first baby, you get more of that one-on-one time. It's been bloody beautiful. They have the most gorgeous relationship. I've loved watching that. And last one is that the van life really does teach you to slow down. And I feel really connected with nature, which I know is going to make you laugh.
Shut up.
I'm such
freak.
A woo-woo loser. But I just love being in the great outdoors. It's so good. We only have a few more minutes. I'm going to rush through these, Lozzie. A few other things. One thing that I've quickly learned is that when the kids are asleep, if you don't get what you need out of the van, that's really annoying. So whether that's a book, anything for lunch, it's toys for the other kid that's awake, have a few tubs, pull out everything you need before nap time because that can be annoying. Next up, yeah. While we've been in Airbnbs, we had to pack up to go from one to the other. For anyone that feels like caravanning might be too much work for them because of the pack up and pack down, honestly, checking out of the Airbnb was just as much effort as setting up our outdoor space when we go caravanning. So honestly, they're both a lot of work with kids. Highly recommend caravanning. My sense of play has been reignited so much on this trip because I haven't had to do much. Scabs on my knees, bruises everywhere, been playing so much. It's been so nice to have this sort of joyful, like, childness to myself again. Love that about
holidays.
Well,
there's no additional pressure, right?
Exactly.
There's no additional pressure.
You get to be a kid
again
and
take
your
time.
Beautiful. Yeah. Exactly. And lastly, I have a bit of a goal from this van trip, and that's that I've been like picking frangipani flowers as I go past them all this week.
Oh, this is.
You know me. You know me.
It's so good.
And now I have a bit of a goal that I want to put to the people, because I think it's something that all mums could work at to like reduce that overstimulation. And that's that I want to properly look at something beautiful each day, properly smell something beautiful each day. It could be a candle, could be a frangipani flower, whatever that is.
And your properly armpits, listen whatever your to heart something. Desires.
Or definitely not them. I get really bad BO, as unlike my husband who can go days without deodorant. And properly listen to something and really listen to something each day, which ideally is music, not a podcast for like relaxing. And we are running out of time. Sorry to rush through that. Sign me off, my friend.
I love it. I love it. I am here for all these Lou revelations. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review. Every review counts. We read them all, even the negative ones. We really, really, really need them. They help us grow. And if you're not already, follow us on RadioNot.pod. On Instagram or on TikToker. Otherwise, see you next week, sweeties.
That's very old of you. I love it. Ciao for now.